Good afternoon, and welcome to Assertiveness Relating Gently and Firmly, Part 2 of Module 6. This is our 8th class. It's a 6th module, but as you may recall, this one and a previous topic were split into 2 sessions. So we've had 8 classes so far, and this coming Wednesday, the 28th, of June, we'll be studying the modules that I'm recording at this time. I'm recording the lecture at this time. So let's get into a little bit more depth when talking about the advantages of assertiveness and behaving assertively. You might recall that in part one of this particular module on the topic, we talked about what assertiveness is and what it is not. Kind of the main themes for that particular class. In this class, we're going to talk at greater length about assertiveness, and we're also going to talk about a related topic, and that is an emotion, and the emotion is anger, and how to receive it, and how to deliver it, and do so in an assertive way. You should be on page 115 in your workbook. And we're going to start with a Bible account. Early in the book of Acts, not long after Jesus ascended, Peter and John were on their way to the temple, and they saw a man who was lame. He couldn't walk. When Peter and John walked by him, he requested money from them, and they assertively denied him his request for money, but they gave him something more valuable. They said to the man, "Look at us." They recognized him as a child of God, and they were giving him respect. Next, Peter said, "Gold or silver we don't have, but what we have we give you in the name of Jesus Christ. Walk." Of course, it worked, and the man was joyous, and he praised God. By speaking truth in love, you can assertively respond to your care receiver and help them get what they truly need. And above all, you always treat your care receiver with dignity and respect as human beings created in God's image, just like we are. And this can make all the difference. Let's start, please, with the opening prayer. Lord Jesus, you show us how we can grow in our caring and relating. Thank you for your mercy and your love. Help us to model our lives after yours. Give us opportunities to respect, honor, and care for others so they realize how much you value them and so they turn to you for all they need. And thank you for hearing our prayer. In Jesus' name. Now I'm going to give you a second prayer, because I don't know how perceptive or how good your memory is, but that was the opening prayer for our first class. I'm sorry. I should have had a bookmark in my notes. It was a good prayer. This one maybe relates a little more closely to what we're going to be doing today. Lord, thank you for the example of Peter and John and their interaction with this man who needed the hope and healing only you can provide. We pray for the grace to always treat others with dignity and respect. We pray for the wisdom to respond to requests in ways that genuinely help people in the midst of their brokenness. We ask you to transform us more and more into followers of Christ who speak the truth in love, consistently relating in a gentle but firm way. We thank you for assertively providing the help and hope that we ourselves need. And we pray, that you would work through us to offer the same help and hope to others. Amen. Okay. At the end of the last session, one of your assignments was to think of a time or an event or a circumstance when you might normally behave in an aggressive or perhaps a passive manner and instead respond assertively. What we do in class is we ask for input. If anybody wants to share how they handle the situation assertively versus passively or aggressively, and also explain what happened using that particular behavior. So we can't really do that through a lecture, but I hope you had the opportunity to try out your assertiveness skills. So being assertive requires thought, work, and willingness to change. And with time and effort, you can really grow in this area. We all can. Now, another topic today has to do with assertively making, granting, refusing, and negotiating requests. So I'm going to say that again. Assertively making, granting, refusing, and negotiating requests. So it's yes, no, and a negotiation. We're talking in the context of responding to requests from your care receiver. From time to time, those of you that have care receivers will be asked for some particular favor or request by that care receiver. In some cases, it is subjective, because in some cases, people never ask the Stephen Minister for anything outside of the normal relationship. Others will ask occasionally, perhaps once or twice in all the time that they see their Stephen Minister. But some ask a lot or attempt to. But most tend to be right in the middle of that spectrum. So focus note on page 1. If you look in your book, page 1, focus note 1 is on page 116. We read that together in class. Focus note 1, it gives examples of requests care receivers might make of Stephen Ministers. And there's some good information in there. It's very typical information. I'm just going to touch on a few because you can read them. They're right in front of you. Can we get together on Tuesday instead of Wednesday next week? Could we meet for an hour and a half this time instead of the usual hour? This week has been very difficult. Could we find another place to get together? And then the fourth one, saying they'd like to do something for the Stephen Minister because they have been a help to them. And then there's 5, 6, and 7. If you'll read the detail, but one has to do with asking for a second visit during the week and then watching their children. And the last one has to do with the request of meeting with the care receiver and their spouse, because the spouse is struggling as well. There are definite boundaries in these examples, and there's some boundary issues. So requests 1 to 4 are fairly reasonable, and you could really work them out with the understanding that we wouldn't be doing this all the time kind of thing. It's always good to try to stick to one day a week, a certain day that you both agree with. It just makes it easier to plan your life around that, and the same thing for the care receiver. But obviously, it's a reasonable request. If they had something come up, or even if you did, that would be a rare thing. But if you did and you really had to move the day, it's something that you could work with them on. Okay. 5, 6, and 7, however, are very wholly, from the standpoint of Stephen Ministry, they're wholly unreasonable requests, and they are boundary issues. We're going to talk about boundary issues. They're so important, in fact, boundaries are, that there's a whole module dedicated to it. So we'll be getting to that next. But let's review them. 5, one visit a week doesn't seem like enough. Can we meet 2 or 3 times a week? Well, except for very special circumstances, the answer would always be no. 6 and 7, even more so. It is clearly outside the boundaries of Stephen Ministry to babysit for a child, or anyone, I guess. And also, we are not trained. We're not counselors. We're not trained to do group counseling or any other kind. And we definitely never do more than one-to-one confidential Christian caring. So there's no way you can even negotiate the last one in particular. Now, as far as being reasonable about this. You want to actually evaluate the emotional state of your care receiver when they make these requests. It doesn't mean you're going to give in to inappropriate requests like the last ones, but you know, we want to be at least helpful if we can in some way, even if it's not in the way that the care receiver is requesting. And you can always, and I urge you to consider talking about these things before you make any kind of commitment that you're not 100% sure about. Talk to supervision, or if you can't wait until that meeting is held, then talk to your Stephen leader, myself, at any time if you have something you really need to get an answer on. So you can work through these requests. And you shouldn't feel pressured by your care receiver to give an answer quickly if you're not 100% sure of what to say. So you can put that off reasonably till the next time you meet. Now, saying yes or saying no, responding to requests from your care receiver, you've got some choices. You can say yes, you can say no, or you can negotiate. We're going to look at those different instances. Saying yes, you're in a formal caring relationship with your care receiver, and they are relying on you, and they're looking to you to define that relationship. Now, the requests you accept or decline are going to help establish the boundaries in that caring relationship with your care receiver and the boundaries in their mind. For example, if you pick up groceries for your care receiver even once, your care receiver may assume it's okay to ask you to do this. So you're setting a dangerous precedent that's going to be hard to remove if you even step out of the normal parameters even once for something like that. Now, it doesn't mean you can't suggest alternatives for things like this, like even the babysitting one instance. There may be something you can suggest or recommend. Maybe there's a resource out there that you can recommend. So it is possible to offer some options, but you're not one of those options in these cases. Also, if you say yes to even a reasonable request by your care receiver, consider what your motivation is. If the Stephen minister over-identifies, remember the mud hole? If one of the problems and one of the hazards is that you over-identify with your care receiver, and you may say yes to a request that isn't appropriate for a Stephen minister. You are not obligated to say yes to requests that go beyond what Stephen ministers usually do. And it is not uncaring to do so, to decline those requests. In fact, it may be the most caring thing you can do. So you take into account whether saying yes to a request will help your care receiver grow and find healing or not. Is the request actually an attempt to fix a problem by focusing on results? That's another risk. Will you slip from servanthood to servitude if you say yes? That's another concern. If you stay focused on the process, remember, it can help you to remain assertive. So it's always good to stay in the present, stay focused on the process of caring, and it will help you to be assertive in handling these requests. Now, the second point, saying no to care receiver requests. There's going to be times, and you saw a couple of examples in Focus Note 1, when you decide to say no to your care receiver's requests, you do have the right to decline. And as I just said a few minutes ago, sometimes declining is the most caring thing that you can do. Again, it's very important when you do, however, to take into account your care receiver's circumstances and emotional state. So you want to be assertive, gentle, and firm. You want to explain the reasons for the no, the declining the request. And when you do, be honest, be caring, and non-defensive. Pause and listen. Be sure your care receiver has a chance to talk about their reaction to your declining. You may need to approach this again in another visit. I mean, it might come up again. So you want to be really clear and gentle. Also, if you decline, this is what, you know, I mentioned just a short time ago, you want to perhaps be able to redirect your care receiver to an agency, maybe an organization or a ministry that can help them. Now, we're going to be along that line. We're going to be studying referrals to other resources in Module 11, which is using mental health professionals and other community resources. We've got a book that you're going to be reading, When and How to Use Mental Health Resources. So you're going to be really looking into this in this training. Now, the third step or possibility is negotiating requests with your care receiver. Sometimes the best response to a request from your care receiver is to negotiate a different solution. Instead of saying yes or no directly, another option that might work best for your care receiver and best for you. So what would that be? Maybe a for instance. Let's say your care receiver wants to meet at your house. As you're the Stephen minister. Your care receiver wants to meet at your home instead of theirs. Now you might, you know, ask the reason, of course. And there might be a reasonable reason. Maybe it's there's something going on at the house and that there wouldn't be adequate privacy right now. So, but you also know, because for one thing, your teacher, your facilitator instructor has said before, and will probably say a few more times before the training is concluded, that you want to be never offering your home as a place to meet with your care receiver. Remember, you can leave someone else's home if you need to. You can't leave your own house should something cause the need to distance yourself at that point from the meeting. But there is a way to offer an alternative. One alternative that is very practical and could work is using our church. The only thing I caution about with that is you have to make sure that the care receiver is aware that if you meet with your care receiver at our church at Bethlehem, and even though there's some private rooms you can use, like the middle office, for example, if it's not being used, or upstairs in the upper room, there's some places you can meet. However, it is a public area. So other members of the congregation or other people would be in that building at any time, and we can't predict it. They could see the two of you together. Might not mean anything, or it might possibly jeopardize confidentiality. So, as long as there's privacy and as long as your care receiver understands there's a little bit of a risk to that as an option, you can go ahead and use the church. And be careful not to insinuate your continued care is contingent upon your care receiver agreeing to a negotiated change that pleases you as Stephen minister. It's not that you're not going to care for them. You'll come up with a compromise that works for both parties. It's just that their request to meet in your home is not an option. You also don't want to reprimand. For example, if your care receiver wants to change the day of your visits, you know, certainly your response should never be, you know, if you would start getting up earlier and work on your job search, I'd consider it. I mean, that kind of thing is certainly manipulation. It's not negotiation. Okay, I'm putting another slide in front of the group, and it has to do with making an assertive request. We're going to look at focus note 2 and 3 on page 117 in your book. Speaking Truth in Love in Chapter 10, the book we are reading or finished at this point, suggests the acronym DESC, DESC. And it's used to help you to remember four steps in making an assertive request. If you read Focus Note 2 on page 117, it describes the actual meaning of each of those steps. Describe the situation, express your feelings about the situation, specify what you want, and describe the consequences associated with your request. I suggest you look at all the detail of that focus note on your own. It's important. Now, if you look at focus note 3, and I would ask you again to read it, a little more detail. It's an example of the desk model. Okay. With that, having been looked at and where we are at this point, the class begins one of three skill practices. The first one talks about making and responding to requests. And we do it in pairs, breakout. And in the first one, we have the Stephen minister being person A, and then person B is the care receiver. Now, if we have a third person, they would probably be the observer and lead the discussion. What I would suggest you do would be to read through each of these situations and then look at the questions and try to get an idea, at least in your own mind, as to how you might handle that kind of situation assertively. And it's a little hard. You can't take all the roles, but you can see that there's also a passive or aggressive way that a person could handle those situations, which would not be effective. Okay, now I'm going to move ahead here. Give me a moment in my notes, because there's three skill practices, which we really do in class pretty effectively, but we can't really do effectively on our recorded session. Once again, it's worth, though, reading through those situations carefully and then look at your notes. One of the things we do ask, I ask some additional questions just for point of information. Like, for example, for discussion questions for situation two, after everybody, you know, works through that and reads situation two, there are some discussion questions. There's four of them on page 119. And I add a few. I'll ask the Stephen ministers, the ones that play that role, how many said yes to the request that's in situation two, and how many said no, and how many negotiated the request. And just kind of get a little discussion. Someone who said yes to the request, why? Why did you do it? And the same thing if you said no. And if someone negotiated the request, explain. You know, how did you negotiate it? So it's just to kind of get everybody thinking along those lines, those options. Okay, so there's three situations to work through the best you can. We break at this point in the class for a few minutes. And then we move on. This is a related but separate section in this particular class. And it has to do with assertively dealing with the emotion of anger. Exploring anger. People's perspectives on anger are shaped by their background and their experience, their personal experiences. Now, there's people, of course, and you may be one of them. I could be in some instances, too. Some think anger is sinful, and so they try to hide it. Except that's a misunderstanding of what anger is. Anger is an emotion. Remember when we had our module on feelings, and we talked about emotions and feelings as being God's gift to us? I mean, we would be in a sorry state if we couldn't express both negative and positive emotions as human beings. The problem comes in not with expressing or feeling anger. It's how we express it, and whether we step over the line where our expression of anger is sinful. But there are people who believe that just being angry is a sin, and it is not necessarily so. Some express anger very freely. In Ephesians 4, verse 26, it says, "Be angry, but do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger." It's really good advice. The Bible, of course, being the Word of God, is the ultimate in wisdom. Anger is an emotion, as I said a few minutes ago. It's neither good nor bad. It's neutral, as are all God-given emotions. What matters is how a person expresses their emotion. Now, you may find with your care receiver a variety of reasons why they may feel anger. They may be angry towards others, themselves, their situation, or even God. And it could be just because of the challenges they're facing. When anger surfaces in a relationship, the Stephen minister needs to respond effectively. And perhaps the best preparation is to learn to recognize and appropriately express your own anger as a Stephen minister, because then you'll be better equipped to handle your care receivers. So let's talk a little bit about a couple points that are important here. Expressing anger, page 120 in your book, in your workbook. Many struggle with how to express their anger. They can express it, or we can express it, passively or aggressively. They also can be, it also can be expressed assertively. We're going to talk a little bit about that. But look at focus note 10. It is on page 120, and I think, yeah, 120, and 121. I'm sorry, it spills over to 121 in your workbook. Passive and aggressive expressions of anger. I would suggest you read through them. Notice something. Under the aggressive expressions of anger, verbal attacks, sarcasm, harsh comments, disrespectful gestures, physical violence, of course. Sarcasm is always an expression of anger. Some people use it skillfully, but that's what it's telling you. There's a real issue there. Passive and aggressive ways of expressing anger aren't helpful. Passive and aggressive ways of expressing other emotions, too, may or may not be helpful. But in this case, they're not helpful. An assertive approach is definitely best. An assertive approach doesn't target the person or a group. It focuses on the situation the person is angry about. It doesn't cause physical or emotional harm to anyone or belittle those involved. You know, assertive dealing with anger involves recognizing and accepting one's own feelings. It includes finding a solution for the underlying problem to keep those feelings from coming up again and again and again. Someone going through a change in life due to illness or something like that, and tremendous number of losses as a result of the illness, which now debilitates that person. Well, that individual can be very angry over those losses, and understandably. There may be a way to address that underlying anger and alleviate some of the pain of losing all these abilities that they once had. It takes time and healing. Don't expect someone wrestling with these issues to completely change overnight. That's the work of the Lord, and it usually will, well, it always is in His way and in His time. Now let's take a look at focus note 11. It's on page 121 in your book. Those are guidelines for assertively expressing anger. These are really good, and they're good things to avoid in some cases, and good things to explain how to express anger in an assertive way. So I'd ask you to look through the list. Those are good guidelines for assertively expressing anger. And by the way, if they look familiar, they came out of Speaking Truth in Love. If you assertively express your anger, you show care for yourself and for others. That's where the assertiveness comes in. So as you practice addressing it as it comes up, you can assertively help care receivers address theirs as well. Okay, expressing anger. Now we'll look at receiving anger. The other part of handling anger is receiving it from someone else. It's really difficult, as we all have seen, being on the receiving end of someone who's angry, especially when you're trying to care for the person expressing it. On occasion, the care receiver might lash out in anger at you as a Stephen minister, and it doesn't mean you've done anything wrong. Your care receiver is just struggling to deal with angry feelings at that particular moment. So what do you do? Anybody? Ask the class for some input. Think about it. Well, for one thing, stick with your care receiver. Hang in there while giving him space to deal with that anger. Assertively continue to listen, reflect, encourage the care receiver to express any emotions and help him accept those feelings. By the way, feelings of anger are often perfectly normal given the circumstance. At the right time, you can explore with your care receiver what can be done to deal with the situation causing the anger. It might take a while to get to that point, but at the right time, that would be a very good option. And you'll know when that right point, that right time is there. Focus note 12 on page 122, guidelines for assertively receiving someone else's anger. Take a look at the comments, please, in focus note 12. Sometimes the care receiver can be angry with God. You might mention it's okay to be angry with God. He's a big God. He can take it. And your anger is okay. Your care receiver is okay to speak to God about the feelings he's having. If we, look at the Psalms, there's a lot of very godly people doing exactly that. So this is not anything new. Expressing your anger to God and turning over the feelings to him can encourage healing, and that's really what we're trying to do. However, be careful to listen and allow the person to let the emotion out before you respond. Don't try to squash it. Let that emotion out. It's healing and healthy for him. Dealing with anger, ours and others, demands assertiveness. And when we use assertiveness, we can avoid hurting others by your own anger and move towards healthier relationships. And you can also help others, like a care receiver, to do the same thing. So remember, assertiveness is what's getting to the point of what is helpful for you and also the other person, whatever the circumstance. Your own experiences with anger. Okay, we're in a little bit different topic, kind of, more personal. Page 122. Focus note 13 walks you through your thinking about your own experiences with anger. I'm going to ask the class to take some time and do just that. Walk through 1 through 4, those steps, and identify a situation in your life that involves anger, and then answer those questions and work through the situation. So, we are now on focus note 13, and usually that takes about 10 minutes to complete roughly in the class. I would just ask you to take time, read it through, and work it through, and complete that exercise. And then what we do in class is, after we've completed the exercise, I suggest that everyone teams up with another person. It could be a prayer partner or just another member of the class they feel comfortable talking to and sharing their situation with. And you go as far as you want in terms of actually talking to the person about the details of what you're dealing with or what you have dealt with in terms of a situation that you had to deal with anger. So, by reflecting on and praying about and sharing your own situation, you've taken some positive steps in addressing the situation of anger in your own life. And this can help you be more assertive in addressing anger feelings with your care receiver and even other people. Okay, moving on to a couple of the last topics. Assertively expressing and receiving compliments. One of the things we had as an assignment last time was, we asked you to please consider the people in the group and to come up with an affirmation list. That was part of your assignment for this class. So at this point in our class, we allow everyone to take the time to share a few comments that are very positive and uplifting about each member of the class, including the Stephen leader. It's a little hard to do that when you're listening to a lecture. But just bear in mind that people really do need to hear when there are some things and qualities that they have or things that they've done that deserve to be affirmed. So giving a compliment to someone is really can be a really positive thing. It's really important. Everyone needs to hear how we feel about them. Even if we think they already know, they need, don't assume that because they may not. They need to hear they've done well, and also they need to hear we appreciate them. So they're compliments and affirmations. And by the way, when you're receiving that kind of compliment, it's easy to get uncomfortable with it and to fluff it off and say, oh, well, it wasn't that really that big a thing. That's not an assertive way to respond. The simplest assertive response you can give is thank you. So now we went on and in the class and we shared the affirmations and we went around the group, as I said, and asked the group how they felt about it, of course. In conclusion, assertiveness is Christian. Based on everything we've learned about assertiveness and speaking truth and love in the past two sessions, it's very clear assertiveness is very much a Christian way of relating. We are God's forgiven, loved, and transformed children through His Son, Jesus Christ. Assertiveness treats us and all people as God's cherished creation. To be a Christian means to follow Jesus, and He was definitely assertive, as Scripture reminds us. We went through some illustrations. Living as an assertive Christian means caring for others while standing up for what we believe as well. So both parties come out with something positive. As we live out the challenges and sacrifices of life, we deeply understand the Christian way of life is assertive. You can take a look in your book at the Caregiver's Compass, page 124, and maybe just take a minute or two and look at the different areas that the Stephen Minister is skilled in, if you will, or should be. Compassionate, full of faith, skilled, trustworthy. So, in the context of this lesson about assertiveness, what did you learn about what it means to be each of those things? And just maybe go through a little exercise on your own and write down some ideas in the box on page 124. All right, very good. Thank you for listening. We're going to move ahead and prepare for the next class. We're on to a new topic, actually two new topics. We're actually going to cover two modules in one class. It's packed with information, very important information, and I think you'll find it very helpful. So looking ahead, Module 7 and Module 8. Module 7 is maintaining boundaries in caregiving. And then Module 8 is Crisis Theory and Practice. The pre-class reading is, for Module 7, pages 125 to 134 in your workbook, plus Appendix A and B, which follow the reading. And then for Module 8, Crisis Theory and Practice, pages 153 to 164, please read, that's the pre-class reading. And pages 165 to 166, which is a crisis self-inventory. I'm going to ask you to do that. Just do that exercise. You'll see what it is. And have that ready for the next class, please. This is, we haven't had a pre-class reading assignment in the workbook, meaning the blue book, Stephen Minister Training Manual, in a while. So now we're back to some of the more traditional pre-class reading. We're at the point of closing now with our closing prayer. Thank you for paying attention and for doing the work, and I hope you benefited from it. Heavenly Father, you have gently and firmly blessed us with more than we could ever have asked for. You delight us, affirm us, and celebrate us as your children. We assertively thank and praise you for who you are and for all you've done in our lives. Continue to equip us so that we may grow as your fully devoted followers. In Jesus' name, amen. We'll connect again next week. Thank you for listening.